Im Namen des Vaters, des Sohnes und des Heiligen Geistes. Amen. For today, the Ember Friday, in Advent, the epistle is taken from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel and fortitude, the Spirit of knowledge and piety, and he shall be filled with the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. So this is where we get the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. Administered in confirmation. This is what we hear. These are the gifts. The Holy Ghost, when he comes, you're anointed. This is what he brings with him. And this is not random. There's this idea, modernist idea would tell you that Scripture is this kind of jumble of wisdom, and it's all very good, and it's all from God, but it's up to us to make sense of it. Right? We approach Scriptures, and we pull out appropriate wisdom, you know, according to the times in which we live. Yes, that's possible, but there's also a very definite structure God intended to be in the Scriptures. And the enumeration of these virtues is one of them. So Isaiah says, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. He lists them, Isaiah lists them, the most important first and the least important last. Wisdom is the highest of the virtues. And what's the lowest of the virtues? Fear of the Lord. And you progress from the fear of the Lord to wisdom. That's why it says the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. There's the progression. Now let's see. So we're going to go through. We're going to consider each of these seven, and we're going to discuss that progression. How does this work? Now, is it any surprise that in an age so devoid of wisdom as we find ourselves today, we also find it devoid of fear of the Lord? Nobody's afraid of hell. Nobody's afraid of punishment from God. Nobody's afraid of the wrath of God, because God is merciful. God is loving. God accepts you no matter what you do, which on one hand is kind of true, but that's a really bad way of saying it, right? The mercy of God is predicated upon the justice of God, right? And because God loves us, that's why he punishes us. That's why God sends people to hell, because he loves them. Different matter for different topic, but that is the truth. Because people choose hell. He could force them to be in his presence, which would be a greater torment to all the souls in hell than if they were there, if they had to be in God's presence. They don't want to be in it. So anyways, fear of the Lord leads to wisdom. If you don't have any fear of the Lord, you will not be wise. Now, the first kind of fear is servile. I am afraid of being punished. I am afraid of God. That's the lowest kind of fear, but that there has to be some of that there, right? Even the saints were afraid of that. If, right, and this is from the, I can't remember the book. If a righteous man turn aside from righteousness and does that which is wicked, shall he be saved? Surely not, saith the Lord. He shall die in his sins. If a man turn away from his sinfulness towards righteousness, shall he die in his sins? No, assuredly the Lord will save him. Right? That is always the case. That's Old Testament stuff right there. If a righteous man sins, he will be damned. If a sinner turns aside and does righteousness, he will be saved. So that is what fear of the Lord is for the saints to remember, if I slack off, if I leave aside the path of righteousness, I will be damned. You cannot ever do evil and get away with it. Now that is what turns many, many sinners aside from wickedness, is they fear hell, and that turns them towards goodness. It makes them cease doing what is evil and want to do what is right and what is good. Now what do we call that? What do we call that when a person starts doing what is right and good? We call that piety. And that's why after fear of the Lord, the very next virtue is piety. Piety is what inclines you to go to Mass, pray, do those good things, try to acquire the Beatitudes, feed the poor, the sick, the hungry, and so on, acquire the virtues. All of that is piety, right? And of the two, fear of the Lord and piety, that fulfills the most basic moral commandment that human nature knows about. It's called synderesis, a Greek word. Synderesis is do good, avoid evil. Everybody knows this. Pagans know this, right? Buddhists know this. Hare Krishna people know this. They call it karma. They call it yin. They call it yang. The whole world understands this. Do good, avoid evil. Those two virtues are summarized in fear the Lord and piety. So those two are the foundations, and they don't stop, right? Fear of the Lord never ceases, but it changes. And now I'm no longer afraid of God. I'm afraid of offending God. I fear to displease him. And that's a greater fear. And this is what enables St. Paul and even the other saints to say, you know, if it were God's will, I would go to hell. Not because I want to go there, but because that's what God wants, and I want to do what God wants me to do. That's all I want. Now, the fact you can't go to hell unless, like, that God does not want that, that's why the saints don't want that, right? They're not afraid of suffering. They're not afraid of even punishment, because they realize that it would be just. I would deserve it, but I fear offending God. So that is the kind of fear that always remains all the way up through wisdom. Even though servile fear, right, fear of God, fear of punishment, that will go away. Because the righteous man doesn't fear suffering. If he's being punished, it's because it's good. He accepts that. Now, after I have begun doing good and avoiding what is evil, that's not easy. It's easy to make the decision. It's easy to have this burst of a piety, I suppose. But to do that over a long period of time, day after day, year after year, decade after decade, guess what that takes? Fortitude. And that's why that virtue is listed next, is that it's not just doing the right thing, it's doing the right thing from now on, always and everywhere, never stopping. There's good times, there's bad times, ups and downs, there's dark nights of the soul, there's dark twilights of the soul, there's all kinds of things. Not yielding to the depression and the weariness and whatever else it is, that is what fortitude is for. Now, after fortitude, there comes the virtue of knowledge. Knowledge is, we could say, that is the virtue that helps you get it in the spiritual life. You know, I get it. Like, at first, you know, I was still tempted by the world. I didn't really understand. Like, I was doing the right thing, but only because I was afraid of doing the wrong thing, and it was hard, and I persevered. And through that perseverance, through thick and thin, now I get it. Now I start to understand. I don't do the right thing. I don't fulfill piety because I have to. I fulfill piety because I want to. I see this is the only way I can be happy. A knowledge is what comes of, like, this is why sin is bad. It destroys your life. It doesn't make you happy. This is why piety is good. And you only get that after you've been doing it for a while, and we call that knowledge, that knowledge that's gained is a virtue. It's a gift of the Holy Ghost. It helps you to put those things together. Now, once that has happened, once you've gained that knowledge, now your decision in the spiritual life is not so much choosing between good and evil, but choosing between good and good. These two options are good, and I'm not going to do what is evil, right? We've progressed beyond that for the most part, but now I've got to choose which good action do I take. This is good, but that's also good. Is this better? Or what is more pleasing to God? What is more prudent in this particular circumstance? And in fact, that is, counsel is really just a supernatural form of prudence. Prudence is about, could be about anything, right? It's just, what's the prudent decision? Counsel is what is the spiritually prudent decision. And very often, counsel overrides prudence. Because you'll see that with the saints. They'll do something that the world says is completely imprudent, but it's because they have counsel. And the Holy Ghost is guiding them, and they say, okay, this is the right thing to do according to the will of God. That's not a natural talent, right? We can't do that according to nature. It has to be a gift from God. So that is what counsel is for. Now, once you have all these other virtues, now you come to understanding. Now, understanding relates to knowledge. Knowledge, like I said, it's getting it in the spiritual life. It's seeing those individual actions of, evil is, this is why it's evil. This is why good is good, we could say. Understanding is not individually, like, I get the virtues, I understand the spiritual life, go to Mass, be good and all that. Understanding is a vision of the whole. Like, I see God's plan. Not like, you know, like a prophet or anything, but everything makes sense. You start to see it all fits together. You see the combination of everything. There's this big picture knowledge of things, and that is more what understanding is about. It enlightens the mind as to how all things are related to God. Now, we're very close to wisdom at this point. Wisdom and counsel are two sides of the same coin, because wisdom is based on that understanding of everything relating to God. Wisdom is the firm desire to do it, right? Wisdom relates to the will. I see it, I understand it, and I want to do it. And this is where you get, when you have wisdom, this is the virtue that inspires the saints to do everything that they do. This is why they love poverty. This is why the saints will say, I'm to suffer and be despised for love of God. And we're like, you know, I don't get that. Like, I can understand it. I see that that's good, but I don't, there's head knowledge and there's heart knowledge. And so understanding is the virtue that brings clarity to head knowledge. Wisdom is that virtue that brings clarity to heart knowledge. I see it, I understand it, and I desire it. So that is the virtue of wisdom, and it begins with fear of the Lord, avoiding evil and doing what is good. So this has been, I guess, confirmation 101 for everybody, a reminder, right? You've all received, or anybody who has received the sacrament, you've got these virtues. So make use of them. So often we forget what we've been given. We forget these gifts. But we can pray. Every day we can pray to the Holy Ghost, stir up inside of us these virtues, right? Rekindle them, renew them, inflame them again to make me feel them and act upon them, right? We have them. They're gifts. They've been given. They're available. So ask for them, right? A good daily practice is saying 7 glory bees every day, one for each of the virtues, these gifts, and asking God to do that every single day. Holy Ghost, inspire me, fill me with these virtues. And it's fitting during Advent to remember this, right? Because Advent is a time of what? Or Christmas is a time of gift giving, right? And then that comes from Christ having given himself to us. And he comes with everything he has, right? The Holy Ghost, God the Father, the whole heavenly court, and these virtues. So the best gift we can give God, the priest actually says it during Mass. After the priest, after he consumes the host, he says, "What return shall I make to the Lord for all the good things he has given me?" And then he takes a chalice and says, "I will drink the chalice of salvation." That's the gift I'm going to give to God, is what? Becoming holy, receiving him even more. So do that. Give back to God the virtues he's given us. He's given us the fear of the Lord, piety, fortitude, knowledge, counsel, understanding and wisdom. Take them, make them fruitful, and give them back to God by living a good life. So let's strive to do that. Continue preparing ourselves for Christ at Christmas through these virtues. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.